Exodus 31, verses 12 to 17. Exodus 31, verses 12 to 17. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, you must observe my Sabbaths. This will be a sign between me and you for the generations to come, so that you may know that I am the Lord who makes you holy. Observe the Sabbath because it is holy to you. Anyone who desecrates it is to be put to death. Those who do any work on that day must be cut off from their people, for 6 days' work is to be done, but the seventh day is a day of Sabbath. Rest holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day is to be put to death. The Israelites are to observe my Sabbath, celebrating it for the generations to come as a lasting covenant. It will be a sign between me and the Israelites forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed."
Thank you, Regan. Now,
go for it, Rob.
Good stuff. Thanks, Regs. Did a great job there. Good morning, everyone. My name is Ryan, and I hope you're doing well this morning. Today, we're going to explore, as Mike's already said, this idea of Sabbath. It's a weird word. It's not really said, at least as far as I know, outside of, you know, church and sort of religious circles. Why are we looking at this topic? As, yeah, again, Mike said in the start, we're doing a one-off on Sabbath. It seems kind of random. Well, let me explain. Well, the first half of this year, we did like a deep dive into a passage in the Bible called Sermon on the Mount. It's found in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. We spent a lot of weeks in it, right? And out of several sermons out of several sermons, we were asked a bunch of questions by you. In little conversations throughout the week or directly after the service, someone would come up to either myself or Etienne and go, "Well, what about this?" So, these questions that came from the text, we actually didn't spend ages on in our series, because if we did, we'd still be doing Sermon on the Mount. So, one of the questions that Etienne actually got was about Sabbath. So, here we are, some months later, yes, but we're here and we're going to talk about it today. So Sabbath, like I said, is a bit of a funny word. And if you aren't familiar with church and the Christian faith and stuff, and unless you're older than if you're older than 40, you likely have some, no, I'm going to say it again, if you're younger than 40, you likely have no memory, right, of the fact that most of Australia used to kind of honour the Sabbath. Don't be ashamed. Who remembers going through town back in the day and everything was shut? The town was deserted. I don't know if I can put my hand up or not. I have some very, very faint memories of it. But anyway, no shops, no businesses, no cafes. Very little, right, was actually open on a Sunday. Apart from churches, hospitals, and the little corner store maybe, and the odd servo here and there to get some petrol. Woolies, well, actually, Ralph Voss, as it was known back then, was certainly shut. So was Coles, all the hardware shops. Most retail shops were shut, which meant if you wanted to get your groceries or even get a sweet new 90s sort of sofa or a huge big box TV, remember them, you couldn't get one on a Sunday. You just couldn't. So, with a good dose of nostalgia and remembering the good old days, let's get back to the present. Sunday shopping, it's now considered quite normal, isn't it? Now, while shopping and all that isn't all that Sabbath is about, it is interesting to note, just to be aware of now, and particularly for those who are younger than 40, that we once, as a nation, put some value in having it one day off a week. And it's just not the case now, is it? Society says we must work. Everything must be available at all times. And stopping, well, that's for the unproductive, the unprofitable. Again, this is not all that there is to Sabbath. But it is a little part of it, for sure. So again, with a good dose of nostalgia and a brief introduction, let's pause just for a moment to ask God to help us this morning before we get into the text. Let's pray together. Good morning, God. Thanks that we get to do what we are doing this morning. We get to gather to read your word, to explore what it means in our lives today, even thousands and thousands of years after it was written down. Please help us. May today not just be about us learning something new and living here, trying to implement in our lives. It's not about us. It never is. May all of what is talked about and understood be about you. Help us to keep you central in everything said, in everything we hear, and in everything we understand. God, would you be praised? Would you be glorified? Would you be made greater in our lives today? Help us to see you and your heart for us, and to live lives that reflect gratitude and humble service for all you have done. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so the first point we're going to talk about is this. What is Sabbath? What did it mean for the people at the time that this passage was written, and where does this concept come from? So the English word Sabbath comes from a Hebrew word, which I'll probably butcher the pronunciation. It's Shabbat, I think. Unless there's a ch in there somewhere, I'm not sure. So in the simplest form, Shabbat, or again, I'll use our English version because I know I can get that right, Sabbath, means to stop. To cease activity. To rest. And this word, Sabbath, it comes up really early in the Bible too. Where does this idea of Sabbath originate? Shouted out, 10 points for a kid. Sabbath day he rested. So where is that? I need a kid. Who's a kid who's going to tell me when Sabbath? Yes, Nate. Yep. So in the very start of the Bible, in Genesis, yep, you're right, Nate. When God had created the world, we get the story of the 6 days of creation, and on the seventh day God rested. Now I'm just going to dance right past a very large can of worms here that we're not going to open this morning in the whole 7 days of 24-hour days or what, blah, blah, blah. We're not going to go there. There are different understandings around this, and that's okay. It doesn't actually change the fact that God set aside, that he put into motion a rhythm of life, a period of time in which he stopped to pause, to rest. Now, not because he was tired and needed a break, but to stop in delight, to pause. God paused to cease activity. He did it to enjoy the work, to enjoy what the work had created. And then God doesn't exclusively keep this idea of Sabbath just to himself. Sabbath's not just for those who create worlds, you know, or who fling stars into space, or who create new life, or those who begin an entire universe. God said his people are to be like him, and Sabbath as well. To take a day to pause, to rest, to cease activity. Which is where our passage comes in this morning. Regan read to us, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Say to the Israelites, you must observe my Sabbaths. This will be a sign between me and you for the generations to come, so that you may know that I am the Lord who makes you holy.'" Now, again, it's important to understand a bit of context as to when this command to Sabbath was given. And, look, let's be honest, it's taken very seriously, right? There's a few alarming words in that text that Regan read to us, all about death and stuff. We'll get to that in a minute. So, context. It comes at the very end of God delivering to Moses the Old Covenant. So way back in chapter 19, which according to my maths is 12 chapters before this one, Moses makes his first trip up Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments. Right, I think we're probably all familiar with at least the idea of the Ten Commandments. So Moses goes up the mountain, receives the Ten Commandments, and all the instructions from God on how to live as his people. So chapters 19 to 31 are outlining all the details of the Old Covenant. And the final detail, the last thing that was given before going back down to the people with all of God's rules, was this passage we just read. On Sabbath. The last thing we say is often, you know, sort of the most important thing that we want people to remember. It's no accident that this passage on Sabbath is at the very end of this long dialogue between God and Moses. So with this in mind, and all the old covenant stuff, Old Testament context, the Sabbath God is talking about is about the original Sabbath, which Nate brought up earlier. Way back in the beginning, in Genesis, the rhythm of 6 days on, 1 day off. And not just a day off to sort of lounge about and not do anything, nor is it a day to just sort of catch up on all the needs, that all that needs to be done in your Israelite tent in the wilderness. Again, at its most basic level, to Sabbath in the original Old Testament context and understanding, it's to take a day off a week to stop. To stop working. Stop wanting. Stop worrying. Just stop. Which up here at least, in theory, it's not that hard to understand, is it? The people are just to stop working, stop doing, just stop. For 1 day a week. God commands his people to do it. And he commands it in this passage. And it's commandment number, what kids? Of the 10, who can remember? Commandment number 4. Commandment number 4. The kids did all the 10 commandments, what, last year? Yep. Anyway, so commandment number 4 of the 10 commandments. It's a serious thing, right? Given by God. Why? Why Sabbath? Well, the text answers that too. So you may know that I am the Lord who makes you holy. The old covenant, the law, the 10 commandments were all about God entering into a relationship with his people. He had saved them from Egypt because he loves them. And then after saving them, he wants a relationship with them. The old covenant was meant to help them do this. And a huge part of this was this idea of Sabbath. Relationships take time and energy to cultivate. God asks his people to take 1 day off a week to intentionally spend time with him. Not working, not doing stuff in their tents, not gathering or preparing food. Just be with, appreciate, worship and love him. So commentators say things like, it was God's way of making sure his people would take time to get to know him. For the typical Israelite at the time, Sabbath was a day to get to know God and deepen their relationship with him. Which is why the willful disobedience of not observing the Sabbath is met with serious consequences. The text literally says, if you neglect to follow this, you get unalived. And there are examples of this happening in the Bible, right? It's crazy. If you're really interested, read Numbers 15. It's got a story of one of God's people was out found gathering sticks to build a fire on the Sabbath. The people saw him, and this stick gatherer was brought before Moses and Aaron, the leaders at the time. And in following the law of that God had laid out for them, they took this poor guy outside the camp and stoned him to death. What? It's a little alarming, right? God takes this call for the Old Testament Israelites to practice Sabbath, practice having a day off each week to spend time with him and in his presence very, very seriously. Because neglecting the Sabbath meant neglecting their relationship with God. This was a reality of the Old Testament, the Old Covenant Israelite people. The Sabbath was a day the Israelite people would stop working. They would stop being busy. And they would spend it with family in worship of God, reflecting on all he had done for them, particularly in saving them from Egypt. For them, Sabbath was a command given by God to have 1 day off a week. 1 day was set aside. It was to be different to all the other days of the week. It was a day to spend time with God and build their relationship with him. To the Old Covenant, Old Testament Israelite, Sabbath was a big deal. And God took it super, super seriously. So that's a brief background crash course on the Sabbath and where the idea came from and what it meant for the people at the time and how it was practiced. Which is all good and well for them, right? They lived thousands of years ago. What does this mean for us today? Are we supposed to drag people out of here who worked last Sunday and stone them in the car park? What does Sabbath and Sabbathing look like for us here today? Are we, as followers of Jesus, still called to practice Sabbath? Now, there are probably more than a couple of schools of thought around what Sabbath should look like in the life of a believer today. Some say that we ought to do a literal one day a week practicing Sabbath. After all, right, we agree with and follow all the other 9 commandments given, don't we? Why would we skip out on the Sabbath day command? It's not like the command to keep Sabbath day holy is less important than not murder, is it? Surely we want to live our lives following God's rules and God's ways as outlined in the Old Testament. So there's all of that. And then there's the fact that Jesus himself observed the Sabbath. He would go to the temple and the like, as did the early church in Acts. They met together on the Sabbath to praise and worship God. So on one hand, it's not too hard to see that we're obliged to continue observing the Sabbath today. While on the other hand, some say that Jesus came and dealt with all the old covenant and made a new way to find rest. Not in a day, but in him. And therefore, like the literal Sabbath day is no longer required. He said, he is the Lord of the Sabbath. And then in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus says, come to him, because he will give us rest. Not do Sabbath, but come to me. And we also read in Hebrews 4 that Israel's old covenant Sabbath, it pointed forward to a far greater rest, to the ultimate Sabbath when God's people would enjoy a world without toil, without sin, without suffering. So which is it? What are we to do? Are we to follow the 10 commandments and Jesus' example and observe the Sabbath? Or are we to understand that Jesus himself fulfilled the law and it's in him now that we have rest? Not a day of the week. The answer? Yes. It's not one or the other. It's kind of both. We do not have to do the Old Testament, Old Covenant Sabbath in a legalistic, rule-following, begrudging, you must follow the rules kind of way. But we ought to recognize it for what it is. A gift. A gift from God to stop, to pause, to worship and spend time on your relationship with him. We would do well and benefit greatly from making time to observe the Sabbath. One day a week to stop. To stop from the usual busyness of life, to stop work, to stop the hustle, to instead use the day to delight in God. Which is why Sundays are a great option, as you can kick off a Sabbath with church and meeting together with more of God's people, doing the same thing, enjoying and delighting in the Sabbath, worshiping God together. So yes, the Old Covenant, Old Testament command to observe the Sabbath is important to us today. But so is the fact that we have rest in Jesus. Rest in Jesus means that you don't have to earn God's love or approval because Jesus has already done it all for you. It's trusting that your worth, it doesn't come from how much you achieve, but who you belong to. It's finding peace for your soul, knowing that your sins are forgiven and your future is so secure in him. Resting in Jesus means you can stop striving, Stop having to prove yourself and simply enjoy just being His. Sabbath is important. It was for the Old Testament, Old Covenant people, and it's important for the New Testament, New Covenant people too. That's us. It's not one or the other, right? It's both. To which you might respond with, how on earth am I supposed to do that? It's a good question. How are we supposed to rest in Jesus when life is so busy and so full? Probably feels impossible. Maybe you run a business and feel the pressure to always keep things going. You work long hours because there is always something more to do. Resting in Jesus' Sabbath for you means remembering that the world keeps turning, even when you stop. It means trusting that God provides, that your security is not found in your effort, but in His care. When you choose to stop, you're saying, God, I trust you to keep working, even when I don't. For parents who feel like every day is filled with lunches, laundry, and late nights, resting in Jesus means letting go of the idea that you need to hold everything together. It means remembering that your family is in His hands. He loves your children more than you do. You can and should pause to breathe, to pray, and remember that His strength fills the gaps your strength cannot. For students, I know there are a bunch here who are studying for end of year exams. They're just around the corner, aren't they? For year 10, 11, 12s. Resting in Jesus, it means doing your best, but actually trusting the results to Him. It means finding peace in knowing that your identity in who you are and your future and all the career and everything else, all your grades, it's not built on, you know, top quality grades and performance, but on His grace. Or out for those caring for others or working shifts that just never seem to end. Resting in Jesus means finding small moments at least to remember that you are not the Saviour. He is. You can stop for a moment and know that His work continues, even when you're asleep. For those who feel restless in retirement or lonely at home, resting in Jesus means you have nothing left to prove. You can rest because you belong to Him. Resting in Jesus does not mean sort of doing nothing. It means working and living from a place of trust rather than anxiety. It means remembering that the most important work has already been done by Him. On the cross, Jesus shouted it out really loudly, "It is finished." That includes the striving, the proving, the endless need to earn. So yes, take time to pause. Take time each week to slow down, to stop, to worship, to enjoy the life God has given you. But also consider how you might shape your week to actually include a real Sabbath day. A day to rest from ordinary work, to delight in God, to gather with His people, to enjoy His creation and His gifts. A day that reminds you that He is God and you are not. And if a day seems entirely unachievable, a full 24-hour period seems entirely unachievable, just set aside 2 hours and then maybe four, maybe six, and then see how you go. Just start somewhere. This is not about adding another rule or a burden to your week. It's about receiving a gift from God, a gift from a God who loves you. He knows your limits, and He invites you to find joy and renewal in His rhythm of rest. True rest is not found when everything on your list is done. True rest is found when you remember that your life is secure in Christ. Because Jesus has already done the work that matters most. You are free to rest in his finished work. So whatever fills your week, whether it's work, study, family, care, you can rest in the truth that God is still in control and that you are his. So to wrap this up, I hope and trust we've seen what Sabbath is and the heart of God behind instigating it. Sabbath is not just an Old Testament rule, but a gift to us, a rhythm that God designed for his people. It points us to the rest that we have in Jesus and invites us to live our lives shaped around that rest. And to help us as we go from here, as we continue to think about Sabbath rest, it's worth asking how we can shape our week to make space for it. For some, that might mean setting aside Sunday, or look, start small, Sunday morning, as a true Sabbath, a day to worship, to stop, to delight in God's goodness. For others, it might mean rethinking the pace of your week on a whole, or building in rhythms that remind you that your worth is not in your work, but in Christ. We all long for rest. Not just sleep and relaxation, but peace. Jesus offers us that. For those here who know him, I trust today has been a helpful reminder to stop striving and trust. And the fact that we can rest because the work that matters most, it's already been done. The work of our salvation, which has been finished by Jesus at the cross, it is done. Again, for example, business owners, it might mean trusting that God sustains your work even when you take a break. Again, for parents, it might mean pausing in the midst of the busyness and chaos and craziness and knowing that your family is in God's care, that in his hands. For students, it might mean, in fact, it does mean, study faithfully, but leaving the results with God. For those caring for others or working long hours, it might mean taking small moments to remember that you are not the Saviour. And for those who are still searching and figuring out the whole God, Jesus, church thing, Sabbath is an invitation. Come to the one who has already done the work, who welcomes the weary, the burdened, and find rest for your soul. Again, real rest is not found in finishing your to-do list or controlling everything around you. Real rest is found in trusting that Jesus has done it all and that your life is 100% secure in him. All of us have an incredible gift on offer to us. Will we take it? Will we pause? Will we stop? To delight and worship God. Shape your week so you can receive this Sabbath gift. Again, whether it's a one-day thing or a rhythm throughout your days, let your life flow from the rest that Jesus gives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks for the reminder of Sabbath. Oh, how we need it these days. With busy schedules, fast-paced lifestyles, never-ending work to do, we can so easily find ourselves trapped in a cycle of endless craziness. Whether that's at our work, our school, or our homes, wherever, our culture screams at us that busy is good. May we be different. Help us as we seek to actually live out the life you've called us to live. Help us to Sabbath well. Help us to rest well. Help us to see the enormity of the gift you have given each of us in resting in Jesus throughout all of life, and the enormous blessing that having an actual Sabbath day is to us. God, it can be so hard to stop. In our minds, at least, stuff just doesn't get done. Boxes aren't ticked on our to-do lists. But God, help us realize we are not so important that the world stops when we stop. And sorry for thinking we are. For those here who don't know Jesus and all he has on offer for them, may they be captivated by your love for them, and that you would offer them a yoke that is easy and a burden that is light. That you call them to come, and you will give them rest. Lord, call those who don't know you, and may those hearing your call respond. God, thanks for rest. Thanks for Sabbath. May we do it well for your glory and the growth of your church. Amen. Thanks, worship team.